pastors on staff here, and just glad that you have joined us this morning. Whether you're here out of the rain or you're joining us online, again, just grateful. We say it often here, but we don't believe that you're here on accident, that we believe, you know, God is calling us, that the Holy Spirit's always active and at work in our lives, and you're here for a reason, and we're glad you're here. And we hope that you have an encounter with Jesus today. This morning, like Pastor Amy said, we're starting off a new series. This is how we do this, staying together on mission. Now, every church has an ecosystem. It's made up of their mission, their values, their discipleship strategy, and so on. And it's the mission that gives a church their direction. And the way that we articulate our mission here at Life Community Church is connecting people to Jesus and their life's purpose. Now, this has always been the mission of Life Community Church. It was this specific church was started back in 1939, back here on, what is that, 5th and Adams. This is now the Angry Beaver, if you drive down there, downtown. And there, the mission then was to connect people to Jesus and their life's purpose. They would have said it differently back then, but this is why those 13 or so kind of charter members pooled their money together and were on mission together. They would go knocking on doors, inviting people to church. They gathered weekly to worship. They sacrificed. They served together so that people in Corvallis, Oregon, could know Jesus and grow into their life's purpose. And for 86 plus and counting years, the mission hasn't changed. We've used different phrases to articulate at different times the core mission to make Christ-like disciples in all nations. That hasn't changed. And the methods change, right? Over the years, our methods change. But the mission never changes. We still believe that every person is created to be in relationship with God through Jesus. We believe that every person is made in the image of God, designed to be with God. And within that relationship, we find purpose and we find meaning. We discover our worth and our significance. Within that relationship of love and fidelity, we know who we are and why we are here. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the new church in Ephesus, and he says it this way, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." See, when you give your allegiance to Jesus, you are given a brand new, fresh start. Everyone say amen. You are God's handiwork. And you've been made new to do good works and to add your efforts to the mission of the larger church or the Big C church. Every church that confesses that Jesus is Lord should have the same mission, calling and equipping people to a life of allegiance to Jesus the King. But what makes us different from, say, our sister churches around here, like Suburban or Grace City or Northwest Hills, what makes us different is just how we go about that mission at Life Community Church. The way that we have been uniquely designed and positioned to accomplish that mission of connecting people to Jesus and their life's purpose. And we call these our values. Our values are what drive the behaviors and shape the culture of our church. Values help us stay together on mission. They are how we do this. And that's what this series is going to be on. Now, it's my favorite time of year, October, November, December. Anyone else just love these months? Yes, it's not just the weather that I like. I just love the holidays. And when you go into someone's home this time of year, maybe you go over for a holiday or a party, and you walk into someone's home, and maybe they've got really good smells going on. I don't know, they've got something good baking in the oven, and it's decorated nice. It just feels warm and cozy, and you just feel something when you're in a space like that, right? It just feels so welcoming. You feel like you belong. And they might have the value of kindness or hospitality. And it might not be written on their walls that we value this, but you can feel it. You can sense that. And if you observe a person long enough, you will know what they value. If you observe a sports team or an organization over a season or a time, you'll see what they value. It will be demonstrated in their behavior. See, what you truly value, what you hold most important, is demonstrated in your behavior. And as a church, values help shape the culture that's present here. And as a church, they help us to stay together on mission. I think a really helpful illustration of this is a few years ago, they came out with a movie, but a while back, there was a book called The Boys in the Boat. Anyone ever read the book or watched the movie? It's one of my favorite stories. It's a story of nine just pretty ordinary, kind of like working class young men from the University of Washington back in the 1930s. And it's their incredible true story journey of how they became gold medalists in the 1936 Summer Olympics for rowing. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. And I learned a lot about rowing while I was reading this book. And a few things that I think could be really helpful for us in this series. Now, the boat only moves forward when they all move together in sync. When everyone is pulling together, that's when the boat moves forward. This is in perfect rhythm. Every stroke is synchronized. We have, you know, the university rowing team often uses the Willamette River. You're driving over the bridge. Sometimes you can see them down there practicing. They are in sync, in rhythm. And when all the rowers pull together, if you watch this, the boat practically glides across the water with incredible speed. It is fascinating to watch. It's super efficient. It takes the entire team working together, pulling together. The power isn't in one person's strength. It's in the unity of their motion. It's their unity that drives them forward. They all have different abilities. They all have different skills, different talents. In a rowing, in a boat, they all have different heights, right? They all have different personalities, but they all have the same mission. Rowing really is the art of becoming one. One body. Moving forward, staying together on mission. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the church in Corinth, and he gives them an illustration of what it meant for them to be moving forward as one. He says this, just as a body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And a few verses later in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And to the church in Rome, he writes this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The church is the people of God together on mission. Same mission, unified in our same mission, not uniform, but unified and moving forward together. This is the church. This is the people of God. It's our values that help us stay together on mission. And the reason that we have stated values, the reason that it's important is because we don't just believe in Jesus just to get to heaven. That's not the end goal here. We don't just attend a service on a weekend to check it off our list. To say, well, that just really re-energized me, or that filled my bucket for the week, or filled me up, or to hear a good sermon, or sing some encouraging songs, and then go home, although we do hope those things happen. See, we don't serve in family ministry or serve our community together. We don't serve on the worship team or the tech team or the hospitality team out of a sense of duty or out of a sense of commitment to a certain leader. We do all of these things. We serve, we sacrifice, we commit to being here on Sundays. We love and forgive and carry each other's burdens because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ and we are the people of God together on mission. See, we're all in the same boat. And so we are better together, but even more than that, we are better together on mission. The people of God partnering with God to carry out his work in the world. Again, same boats, but we all have different backgrounds, right? We all have different gifts, different talents, different abilities, different life experience, but we are moving forward together. This is how it was intended to be. And again, it's our values that help us do that. And so a series like this is just important to keep this in front of us. For those of us maybe who are newer to Life Community Church, or maybe you're just checking it out, what is this all about? Again, the first step that's coming out, this will go in a deeper dive in that time, but it's important just to keep these things in front of us. Author Brené Brown, she wrote several great books, but in her book, Dare to Lead, she says this about values. A value is a way of being or believing that we hold most important. Living into our values means that we do more than profess our values. We practice them. We walk our talk. We are clear about what we believe and hold important, and we take care that our intentions, words, thoughts, and behaviors align with those beliefs. So over the next 5 weeks, we're just going to be unpacking our values. Growth, personal connection, generosity, wholeheartedness, and optimism. And it's important to note that these are not uneditable. There are other values that can be added as they become a part of who we are. So this morning, we are going to be looking at the value of growth. It's important that, yes, these are our church values. The values of the church, though, are a reflection of the life of Jesus. Incorporating them into our lives personally helps us align our personal behaviors to the life of Christ, which is ultimately the journey of someone who is following Christ. It's the ultimate journey of the Christian life. Our values guide our behavior. See, growth is a journey. We do not just arrive all of the sudden where we want to be, right? We do not just all of the sudden arrive at our life's purpose as individuals or as organizations, although sometimes I really wish we did. I really wish it was just a snap of the finger and we have arrived, but we grow into it. We grow into these things, and this takes effort, and this takes discipline, and this takes focus over a lifetime. And it's a bit of a cliche, but we do believe that healthy things grow. See, this is true in the natural world, right? And it's true in the spiritual world. If we focus on health, the natural result is growth, but not primarily in like this sense of bigger and better. That's not what we're talking about here. Throughout the scriptures, we are admonished to be people who grow, but not the kind of growth that's manufactured by manipulation for flashy results. That's not what we're talking about here. This is a kind of growth that comes from health, the kind of growing that is lasting. Think about the growth of a forest. Have you ever just sat and watched a forest grow? No. It doesn't happen overnight, right? Forests grow in stillness. They grow through storms and seasons. It stays rooted in its purpose. As long as the trees remain connected to the soil, they grow consistently and slowly, pursuing its purpose. That's the kind of growth that God desires in us. Steady, rooted, and lasting. Growth is expected of all of those who confess allegiance to Jesus. This is an expectation. In John 15, Jesus, he's teaching his followers, and he says this, "I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in him so that they bear much fruit." See, the expectation is that growth is a result of abiding. When you abide in me, Jesus says, growth will happen. Now, like Pastor Amy prayed, we love you right where you are at. And God does too. But we also love you, and God loves you so much that we don't want you to just stay right where you are at. Even if it feels like right where you are at or right where we are at as a church feels pretty good. We are meant to continue growing. It's never meant to stop. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He who began a good work will carry it on. The good work, the growth that began in us when we chose to point our feet towards Jesus, when we chose to pledge allegiance to Jesus and say, "You are my Savior." It doesn't stop there. In fact, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of the journey. And just like that tree for its lifetime stays committed to its purpose, we are to relentlessly pursue our life's purpose. And that requires growth. Throughout the history of our church, we've been committed to growth. We've traditionally called this evangelism and discipleship, but helping connect people to Jesus and their life's purpose. This is what's been happening here for the 86 plus years that Life Community Church has been around. They've been added to the body through evangelism, inviting people to church in order that they might have an encounter to connect with Jesus. So we started at 5th and Adams. I showed you that picture, but they outgrew that and purchased the property at Greeley and 27th. And not too long after that, they purchased the adjacent property because they were continuing to grow and expand. And by the mid-60s, they were dreaming about investing in kids and families and what the growth might look like in the year 2000, which feels really a long time ago now. And it wasn't long until they outgrew that space out there at Greeley in 27th, and they purchased this property. There it is, the dome in all its glory. All along, there's been a commitment to the people who call this church their church home, not just to be getting larger as a church body, not to just be growing in numbers, but to personal growth, to discipleship. And the way we say that is learning to follow in the way of Jesus, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus and do what Jesus did, loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and strength. So then what does it look like for us to stay together on mission through growth? Well, Paul gives us a snapshot in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul gets word from one of his co-workers, Epaphras, that the church in Colossae is hungry to grow, and they are in fact growing. He gets word, and so he writes a letter to them in response to their desire for growth. He says this: "For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not stopped or ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God." Now, there's a lot here in this scripture, but Paul is really speaking of three things here. He's speaking about wisdom, he's speaking about spiritual maturity, and he's speaking about effectiveness. And so we are just gonna unpack those three this morning to help us know how we stay together on mission. And again, this is about our church, but it's also about us as individuals, all right? So here's how we stay together on mission through growth. We stay on mission together through growth by growing in wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Now, we could spend a whole month really going through Proverbs, just talking about all the values of growing in wisdom and the wisdom books. There's so much there. But wisdom is more than just knowing things, right? We could probably think of some people in our lives that know a lot of things, but aren't super wise, right? It's more than just knowing things. Wisdom is the discerned application of information. So what does that look like practically? Well, there's two ways. We show wisdom, we grow in wisdom, we learn in wisdom by listening. We are listeners. I used to work in kindergarten class, and it was always about being a good listener, right? You are a good listener when you do a few things. We listen to people, not just as individuals, but as an organization. So we listen to other people. We need to be listening to the older people in our church body. They are the ones that have all the experience. So we take time to listen to them. And then we listen to the younger generation because they are the ones with all the energy. We need to listen to what the younger generation is saying. They have new ways of thinking. They are way more connected to what's going on out there in the world than we are, and we better pay attention. We better listen to what they have to say. And then we listen to people who are not like us. We listen to people who have differing opinions, differing life experiences, differing perspectives. We listen. And then most importantly, we listen to the Holy Spirit. And this happens in several ways. Listening to the Holy Spirit looks like practicing silence and solitude. Sitting in silence and sitting in solitude as a way to just kind of open up space and say, Spirit, what are you saying to me? What do you have to say to me today? The practice of prayer, going to prayer and asking the Spirit to show you in discernment and wisdom what you need to do and the ways that you need to grow in your wisdom. And it also looks like wisdom through reading. Some of you love reading. Some of you are like, oh no, we're not gonna talk about reading books, are we? I'm talking about reading scripture every single day. We're coming to the end of the year here, and this is a great opportunity to say, what am I gonna do in the year ahead? For some of you, you have a plan and you do that every single year. For others, maybe you're like, it's a little haphazard and you need to think through. How am I gonna practice reading scripture in the year ahead? For me, I go back and forth between like the Bible and the year. Sometimes I do the Old Testament in a year, sometimes New Testament. If you have questions and you want resources, we would love to help you with that. But have a plan for how you're going to engage in reading the scripture. And it looks like reading books. It looks like reading resources from other people. Maybe even from people that you don't necessarily agree with on everything. Look for books written by marginalized people. Look for books written by people with different life experiences than you. So we practice growing together in wisdom through reading and listening. And then staying together on mission by growing in spiritual maturity. Again, I said this at the top of the message, but heaven is not the end goal of allegiance to Jesus. Becoming like Jesus is. Seeing God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, as we participate with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in this work. According to the scriptures, there really is no such thing as a stagnant Christian. The writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity. This comes on the heels of the writer. He's chastising these Christians for their lack of motivation. Here's what he says. We have much to say, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Feels a little bit like someone talking to a child. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Again, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not required with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. We cannot be doing the same things that we were doing 5, 10, 15 years ago. We have to be moving on in our maturity and in our growth in Christ. Growing in spiritual maturity is training ourselves to think and act like followers of Jesus. This is new ways of engaging in the practices. This is new ways of trying to see like what works for me. Maybe the things that you were doing in prayer 10, 20 years ago, maybe you need to try something new. Or maybe the way that you have been engaging with scripture, maybe you need to try something new. Maybe it isn't working the same way. Maybe you're getting bored or you're getting just kind of stale in those things. And so it's time to try something new and to press in. And we do this by practicing the rhythms that shape us. This is where we bring in our spiritual practices. Our spiritual practices provide the rhythms that form us along this journey. We talk about them a lot here. The rhythms and the practices that we talk most about are Sabbath, scripture, prayer, silence and solitude, generosity, community, witness, fasting, and service. These are all things that Jesus did and told his followers to do, to help them learn how to be with him, to become like him and do what he did. And we talk about these practices a lot. If you wanna go back and have a deep dive on what they are, we did two big series, but we split in two called Practicing the Way. and you can find those on YouTube or on Spotify, and to just really dig in. But we try to tie one of those practices to each series, because this is stuff that we do alone at home, and then we do together as a church body. This is how we do this. And then staying together on mission by growing in effectiveness, by bearing fruit and allowing God to prune what is unfruitful. Just like a tree that stays planted in the soil, it will grow and bear fruit. So when we remain in Christ, committed to loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and strength, there will be fruit to show. There will be fruit to show. When we hold growth as a value, not just as a church, but as people, individuals, when we strive to grow in effectiveness as good stewards and all that God has trusted into our care, bearing fruit in every good work is the outcome. Fruit in every good work is the outcome of a life worthy of the Lord, as we read in 1 Colossians, or in Colossians 1. This is what happens. But growth and effectiveness does not always mean addition. It does not always mean addition. Sometimes to grow, we have to subtract. Anyone out here have like fruit trees or things that you have to prune at different times of the year? Sometimes it feels counterintuitive, right? For me, I'm looking at something that I was growing. I think, look at this beautiful bush. It's got these gorgeous flowers. I don't want to prune it. I don't want to get in there and cut everything away. I feel like I'm doing damage to it. But really, the pruning is what's going to allow space for new fruit and new flowers to grow. It feels a little bit counterintuitive. But if something is hindering our effectiveness personally or organizationally, we seek to remove that thing to enable ourselves or our church to bear fruit again. This is why abiding in Christ is so crucial. It positions us to hear from the Lord, to gain wisdom, to see the blind spots. We know we don't want to admit that we have blind spots, but we do. When we abide in Christ, we are submitting to that and saying, I need you to help me see these blind spots. Where are things that maybe need to be pruned out of my life? And also, it helps us to have a bigger imagination of what is possible. Again, Jesus, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. For while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So how do we stay together on mission? By growing in effectiveness. Well, we have to evaluate. We have to evaluate our lifestyle, and this is both personally and again in our church and ministries. Don't be afraid to measure things. A willingness to measure our effectiveness shows that we care enough about it. We care about it. Don't confuse, and I don't want you to confuse measuring effectiveness with measuring worth, okay? Our worth comes from who we are in Christ Jesus, not from what we do, okay? A couple of questions to help ensure our effectiveness. Okay, where's the fruitfulness in my life? Where's the fruit being produced in my life? Maybe I need to really focus on that area, maybe put more energy into that spot where the fruit is naturally happening. And then maybe we have to ask ourselves, where are there dead branches in my life? Many times these are behaviors or habits that need to be cut out. Things that we have to take a good, honest assessment of and say, these things are hindering my growth in Christ, and I need to remove them. I need to cut these dead things out. Would you let God prune those branches in your life? Sometimes there's always a possibility that there's something that's happening in your life that is actually good, but it needs to be cut away for a time in order for new fruit to grow, to make room for something different. And so the things that we have to kind of prune, sometimes maybe they are being a little bit effective. They're still doing some good work, and there is still a little bit of a level of effectiveness there. And this is why it's so important that we abide in Christ, and we have to hold those things loosely and say, hey, maybe it's time, even though there's a little bit of effectiveness here, maybe it's time to prune that away so something new can grow. Again, this is in our personal lives and then as a church. And then we grow in wisdom, spiritual maturity, and effectiveness. It takes effort. It takes effort. We have to be committed to this together, all rowing together in the same boat, the same mission, moving effectively, because ultimately, again, guys, our goal is that people would connect to Jesus and their life's purpose. This is bigger than Life Community Church, right? We're talking kingdom-minded here. We have people in our lives, we have friends and neighbors and people in our family that we are desperate to find the love of Jesus. So this is bigger than this. It includes us, but it's bigger than this. And this kind of growth, you guys, it's usually, not always, but it's usually slow, right? It takes time. It's over our whole lives. Effort over a long period of time. So at LCC, we are going to be people who are committed to growth. We are going to expect growth from one another. That's part of why we have life groups, right? We hold one another accountable to growing in the things that God is doing in us. This is how we do this. It's the kind of growth that comes from a connection with Jesus and a Holy Spirit-empowered desire to live into our life's purpose. And this kind of thing, this kind of value, this excites me. Again, because it's not just about, we're not talking necessarily about growing in numbers, although I would love to see this place full. We're talking about this deep growth that's found in abiding in Christ that keeps us on mission. So this morning, we're going to have the opportunity to come together to the table of communion, to receive communion together again this morning as the body of Christ. Communion is where we intentionally posture ourselves to receive from Jesus, the embodiment of wisdom, the source of spiritual maturity, and the model of kingdom effectiveness. When we come to the table, we're reminded that all growth, all strength, and all fruitfulness flow from abiding in Him. We can't produce anything lasting apart from Him. We can't. Apart from His presence, we cannot produce anything lasting. Communion reminds us of that truth. Communion reminds us that our lives, our love, and our faith are sustained by remaining in connection to Him. They're remaining connected to the vine. That we cannot do this on our own. So as we come to the table today, we're saying to Him, we will remain in your love. That you have a plan and a purpose for us. And so in order for us to see that accomplished, in order for us to see the growth that you want to have happen in us, we will remain in your love. Again, this is more than just about what's happening here. It's about what's happening kingdom-wide. So as we come to the table again, we're just saying, I want to abide in you. I don't want to try to do this thing on my own. I need you. I need you in every area of my life. The bread represents the body of Christ, broken for you. The fullness of His humanity and His willingness to step into our suffering so that we could be made whole. And then the cup represents His blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, sealing a new covenant of grace, mercy, and restored relationship with God. So when we eat and drink, we're remembering His sacrifice, but we're also participating in His life, saying, Jesus, live in me. Jesus, shape me. Jesus, sustain me. So in a moment, the worship team's going to lead us in a song. And while they do that, I'm gonna invite you to receive your elements. There are two tables at the top there of the stairs, if that's easier for you to get to. And then there are two tables down here. And I'm just going to invite you to go receive your elements and then take them back to your seat. And when you're ready, you can go ahead and take the bread and eat it and take the cup and drink. You don't have to wait for someone to guide you through that. And if you want, you can also come down to the altars again to do that this morning. Remember, they are symbols of Christ's love and life given for you. And if you're new here, you haven't received communion before and you have questions, there are some cards there on the table. You can also just sit and reflect. You know, communion is for all that would confess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And if you have yet to do that, you can do that even in this moment. And then in a moment, I'll come back up after the worship team and just close us. But this is just an invitation this morning to rest in His love, to receive His grace. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Jesus, we're just so grateful for your sacrifice. I'm just so grateful that you love me right where I am at, but you don't want me to stay here. That there is more that you want to do in me, that there's more you want to do in this church and the people that make up this church, that we should always be growing, and that happens when we abide in you. So would you help us this morning to evaluate our own lives, evaluate maybe the things that we're a part of, our ministries, God? Would you help us to be honest? And then would you reveal to us perhaps some things that need to be pruned away in our lives or else just in our church body, God, things that maybe just need to be cut away to make room for what you want to do. And would you help us to be better listeners, to lean into the people that have wisdom, to hear from our young people the things that they are wrestling with, and God, how we can meet them in that to be effective for the kingdom. Again, we can do none of this apart from you. So would you help us to abide in you? Would you help our church to abide in you? We trust you. We love you. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to help connect people to you and their life's purpose, which ultimately is to become like you, Jesus. So we thank you and we give you this morning in your name. Amen.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to today's sermon from Life Community Church. We hope it sparked something in you. Maybe a thought, a challenge, a next step, or even a few questions you're still turning over. If you've ever left a sermon thinking, "I wish I could ask about that," then you're going to want to check out our follow-up podcast. Each week, we take questions submitted after Sunday service, questions sparked by the sermon, and we dig into them right here. Some might be practical, some a little more theological, and some might even make you laugh. But the goal is always the same, to give you space to think, reflect, and stay curious as you grow in your faith. So head over to the follow-up and catch our next episode, where your questions from today's sermon could get answered. It's a safe space, conversational, and yes, sometimes a little fun. Don't sit on those questions. Bring them to the table and let's explore them together. We'll see you there.